Books, you can be seated and open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And we are back into our study in the book of Colossians. I'm excited about this. We hit the pause button on it just a little bit as we had some different things going on for Sunday school. I was sick, and then we had some missionaries here last week. What a blessing that was. And then we are here today. So we're back into Colossians chapter 4. I hope that you've enjoyed this study. We've sort of been just walking verse by verse through this very powerful, interesting book. I hope you've learned more about the church at Colossae, some of the people that were there, the pastor who was pastoring that flock, and how the Apostle Paul came to know about their situation. And so Paul is in a prison-type situation when he writes this book, and he is yet looking forward to hopefully at some point being able to go and visit them. But he gets into chapter 4 here, and he begins talking about some of his co-laborers, people who have worked alongside him, people who mean a lot to him. You know, the Apostle Paul, we think about him, and we think about him as sort of a central figure of the New Testament, and God certainly used him, but Paul was not the only person God was using at this time. In fact, Paul's ministry would have been greatly limited had it not been for the co-laborers that were working alongside him and were working in connection with the things that he was trying to accomplish. And of course, those things were directed ultimately by the Lord. But he wants to shine the spotlight, if you will, a little bit on the family, his Christian family, so to speak. And so for that reason, we're kind of looking here at a family portrait for Paul and his biological family, but his family in the Lord. And so he's going to tell us about some of these people. I find some of these people just fascinating as you trace their names through the New Testament. And we started off by talking about Tychicus, and we did that. We started talking about him last, three weeks ago, I guess it was now. But let's go ahead and pick it up here in verse 7. Let's review just a little bit. He says in verse 7, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto thee, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things that are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me." And we'll stop there. Lord, would you guide our study this morning in this powerful, powerful book? And Father, may each of us, Lord, be interested. Lord, may you, Lord, captivate our thinking to the point where, Lord, we cannot help but focus on the message you have for us today. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so Tychicus here, just a few reminders about him. We were saying that he's like the runner in this passage. And the way I picture a runner is somebody who, you know, maybe they're not running the show per se, but there's something that they need to take, or there's something that they can do that maybe has a behind-the-scenes type of ministry, but it's nonetheless something that is essential. And, you know, I'm so thankful that the Lord uses all of us. And there are people certainly that are called to preach and, you know, called to go to other places, the other side of the world, to share the gospel with other people. But those aren't the only people God uses. There, in order for that to happen, there's a host of other people that are maybe behind the scenes that have to be doing things in order to make all of that work. And Tychicus was one of those people. We traced him a little bit through the scriptures. We talked about how when Paul was taking up an offering for the needy folks in Jerusalem. Tychicus was there. He was ready to help in that venture. We see that when Titus needed to be relieved, Titus was a young preacher boy that the Apostle Paul had discipled. He and Timothy, both of them at different points in their ministry, needed somebody to just come and oversee and watch and be with the church while he was gone. Tychicus was that guy. And Paul said, hey, I've got Tychicus. Okay, I can send him to you. And he'll do a great job keeping track of some of the responsibilities there. And so he was someone that was a runner, and Paul would send him. We talked a little bit about the hard travel that he had to endure. I was reading just last night, reading a biography on Martin Luther. Very, very interesting. But he, early on, when he is in a monastery, he gets sent 600-700 miles to Rome, and he traveled that on foot, only to get there and realize that the meeting he was supposed to attend had been canceled, and then he had to go all the way back. So I find it humorous. It would not have been if I would have been him, but you can imagine traveling on foot that many miles just had to be such a task, and yet. You know, that's how it had to be done. You know, they weren't flying jets all around, you know, the known world at that time. They weren't, you know, hopping on their electric whatever and going down the road. It wasn't happening. They had to get there, you know, by foot or you know, riding on an animal, those types of things. So anyway, the travel was so difficult, and yet Tychicus said, hey, sign me up. You know what? I can't do some things, but I can do that. And I know this is part of the work of the Lord, and so I want to be involved in that. So, but what does Paul say about this man? We see what other passages of Scripture give us a little bit of historical bearing on him. But specifically here in Colossians, Paul says a few things about Tychicus here that I think are very interesting. Notice what he says here in verse 7. He says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you." So Paul's going to send him again. And he's going to send him to Colossae, and he's going to go bearing this letter. Okay, this was important. Again, Tychicus the runner. He's going to take something from point A to point B, and this is going to be a big event. And Paul enlists him, but notice the testimony here of Tychicus. He says, "Who is a beloved brother?" So who is Tychicus? Well, according to Paul, he was a brother. And let me just stop at this point, because I think that sometimes we take for granted the spiritual family that we have in Christ. You know, there are a lot of people who maybe don't have a lot of you know, physical family in their lives, but are connected to a church and have a lot of spiritual family. And that's a great thing, because even if you're not in a position where you say, oh, I've got all these aunts, these uncles, I've got all this family, and you know, even as family maybe passes away, you know, I've got people in my family. I've got one grandparent now that is living, and you know, it seems like only 5-6 years ago, and I still had my both sets of grandparents. But as time goes on, maybe earthly family passes away. But yet, again, the Bible gives us a spiritual family, and that's family that we meet and get to talk to that are because of our relationship with Christ, the community of our church. Now, how important is that? You know, sometimes when people do not realize the importance of spiritual family, it's easy for them to get away from the Lord. You know, I'm a brother to Andrew here, and he is a brother to me in Christ. And what does that mean? Well, that means that on any given day, on any given Wednesday or Sunday or any time that we're together, that means that Andrew can encourage me. And hopefully I can encourage Andrew, not just as a youth pastor, but as a brother in Christ. And so now, you know, do I have a strong relationship with Andrew? I think I do. We know each other pretty well. I've known him a good while, and he's known me a good while. That improves the relationship. But at the very same hand, you know, Josue. Josue has been coming to our church for maybe a little over a year now. And I haven't known him as long as I do Andrew, but he's my brother in Christ. And Josue can encourage me, and I can encourage him. And that should be a priority to me. That should be important to me. You know, it's not just about having, well, you know, I've got my immediate family, you know, and those are the people I'm close to. Or I've got my best friend, and that's the person I'm close to. No, in the family of Christ, in the community of our church, if I could say it that way, everybody's important. And I should not just be interested in developing a relationship with Andrew, who I know very well and maybe have commonalities with, but someone who hasn't been here long, maybe like, let's say, like Josue. So, see, as I take advantage of this relationship that God has given me, it builds me up, and I'm better for it. And I encourage them, and they encourage me. You know, I recently read a book, and it was on trauma. People who had gone through traumatic situations in their lives. You know, maybe they were in a vehicle, and you know they lived through it, but the person they were with died. You know, just hard things that people have a hard time getting through. You know, they said people that have a strong sense of family in those moments and who have strong relationships tend to do very well in spite of the difficulty. But people who don't have a good family relations, people who maybe, you know, just have things between them and their family and so they don't talk, people like that are isolated generally have a very difficult time going through trauma. And, you know, that's just a fact. But can I say this? The Lord has given each of us a community in the church that is for our good. And wow, we are, number one, in disobedience when we don't avail ourselves to that opportunity. But number two, we're missing out on so much when we don't realize the importance of it. Because you're teenagers, I can easily go here, but you know, when you get to your senior year and you graduate from high school, you will notice how easy it can be to become disconnected to the Christian community. And sometimes your decision-making during this time has everything to do with that. Some people choose to go to make a college decision not based on the Christian community that they're still going to be able to avail themselves to, but just primarily on, well, you know, I'm seeking this type of thing and this college interests me, so I'll go. And I've seen it over and over again. Somebody goes to a college, they don't get connected to a good church, they don't have any sense of spiritual family connection in that environment, and then over a period of time, they lose interest altogether. Their ties are no longer as strong as they were, and they just float out into the abyss, spiritually speaking, okay? Seen that time and time again. What's happening in that person's lives? Well, the brother, sister, the community that the Lord has given us has sort of cooled off in their mind. It's not something that is a priority. But it was to Paul. Paul said, hey, Tychicus, let me tell you about him. He's a beloved brother. Boy, I'm thankful for the relationship that I'm able to have with him in Christ. And so I challenge you as you're here today, don't treat that as something that can take a back seat in your life. Treat it as something as, hey, you know what? I have a spiritual family that God has given me. And you know what? I'm going to invest in that family. And hopefully that family invests in me. And I'll be better for it. Tychicus, the runner, right? He's a brother. What else does Paul say? He says he's a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister. In other words, he served others. Paul had this in common with Tychicus in that Paul was in the same boat. He waited on others. He served others. That's what ministry is all about. And one of the most rewarding things in life is to serve others. It's an internal and an eternal work. What a blessing. Tychicus here, he's a brother. He's a minister. Well, what else, Paul? What else? Well, he's a fellow servant. Look at it in verse 7. He says, a faithful minister and a fellow servant of the Lord. He's a fellow servant. He's a servant. And he's describing here where his allegiance is to. And so Paul had these things in common with Tychicus. And even though Tychicus, as far as we know, was not a preacher of the gospel per se, Paul looked at him and said, hey, there is so much value in Tychicus. I'm going to send him with this letter. He's going to take it to you. Receive him as the brother that he is, the servant that he is, the fellow laborer that he is. And Paul was better for it because of his relationship with Tychicus. But notice, what's his purpose for going? Why was he sent? And notice verse 8 here. Paul tells us why Tychicus was sent to begin with. He says, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose. Okay, what is this? What's the purpose, Paul? Why are you sending Tychicus? That he might know, number one, he might know your estate. Okay, so the word know is so interesting in the New Testament. And there's two forms of this word, but this know relates to that which can be gained by experience. Okay, this is important. Okay, he says, I'm sending Tychicus to go to you that he might know by experience what's going on with you. You know, if we're going to encourage our brother and sisters in Christ, we have to put ourselves in a position where we can know by experience how things are going. You know, I go back to Andrew here. Apologize I'm using you so much, but you know, if let's say I want to be a blessing to Andrew as my brother in Christ, I need to sort of know what's going on with him. You know, if I want to know Andrew, I'm not going to go over here to Jaden and say, Jaden, I want to know Andrew. Tell me everything you know about him, okay? I wouldn't do that, okay? If I wanted to know Andrew, I wouldn't go to my wife and say, I want to know everything there is to know. You know, now I go to my wife for other things, but I wouldn't go, yeah, that question doesn't make sense. Why? Because I want to know from experience how Andrew is doing. And so, you know, when we reach out to each other, this requires time. It requires effort. It requires a certain level of discipline. And I realize that, you know, there's 20, 25 people in this room this morning, maybe 30. And I don't expect all of you, as big as our youth group is, to know absolutely everything about everybody else. But you can expand a little bit your realm of family. And you do that by learning people, spending time one-on-one, asking questions. Andrew, you know, what did you do yesterday? Andrew, you know, what can I pray for you about? Andrew, can I? And this is, what's this doing? This is allowing me to know by experience sort of where he's at. And, you know, we like the flip side of that, don't we? Right? We like when people do this to us. Okay, we want people to come to us and to be interested in our lives, right? How many be honest about that? I'm honest. I like it to, when people take interest in me. Okay, all right. That's just the sort of the way we're built. Okay, we crave attention that way. We're very communal. That's the way God created us. That's something we like others people to do to us. But is that something that we're willing to do for somebody else? Are you willing on a Sunday morning, you know, when you're, you know, for better or for worse, you went to bed later than you should have, or you've gotten up later than you should have, and you're trying to be with it, and you're trying to, are we willing to put our best foot forward in regards to ministering to each other in that way? Because this is a great opportunity for us. And we ought to avail ourselves to that. So Tychicus goes, and Paul says, hey, I'm sending for this. This is, here's the purpose, that he might know your estate. That's know by experience. And notice what it says in verse 8, the second part, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Okay, so this is the second layer, right? I mean, I go to Andrew. I say, Andrew, you know what? What are some things that I can pray about? And Andrew says, well, Brother Scott, you know, you don't have a cat, do you? Okay, no cat. All right, our cat, Larry, got hit, and he's bad off. He's like, there's only three legs now, and the tail's gone, and no whiskers. It's really, really tough situation, Brother Scott. And so he lays this out about Larry the cat, and I just look at him and say, okay, and I walk away, okay? All right, now didn't I gain by experience here? I did. I found out about Larry. He's not too good off right now, but I know now. Well, that's kind of what the Lord's talking about right here, right? I mean, I got that information. No, it's not just about that, right? It's the second part of comfort. Okay, now I may not give Andrew a hug. Okay, you know, but the whole idea of comfort is you know, to come alongside. The whole idea is for him to sense something from me that I can at least empathize with that, or I'm sympathetic to the issue that's going on. So it's not just one thing of, you know, giving somebody 20 questions on a Sunday evening after church, you know, and, oh, that's very interesting. Okay, all right. I've got all this information now, you know. It's not just that. Wait, it's the love that goes into it. It's the, you know, I am so sorry, you know, Andrew. Man, I'm going to pray that Larry grows new whiskers. I don't know. I'm gonna do something to try to express my love in that way. And so, you know, this is a way that we can minister to each other. And Tychicus was going to Colossae to know their estate and to comfort their hearts. All right, I want you to notice quickly, we're going to talk about Onesimus here just in passing. Verse 9, Paul mentions him. Notice what it says. Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things that are done here. All right, Onesimus. Anybody know who Onesimus was? Okay. All right, Josiah, can you tell us who Onesimus was? Just do your best. Just give me anything. Anything.
I don't want to go into details, but he was a slave of Philemon.
Okay.
He ran away to Paul, and because he was running away, he ran to Paul. Through Paul, he got saved, and then he went back to Philemon, and that's why we get the letter of Philemon. And then he became a helper to Paul.
So that's good. Josiah, you need to come up here and teach this man. That way you had everything on the nail there. We just saved about 10 minutes of study. No, Onesimus, yeah, and he categorized it very well. So here Paul's bringing him up, and Onesimus is now going to go back to Colossae. And this interaction is going to take place between Philemon and Onesimus. So when Tychicus and Onesimus went back, they not only took the book of Colossians with them, the letter to the Colossae people, but they most likely took the book of Philemon as well. And so now you have something very interesting happening, because what does Paul say? He says he's a faithful and beloved brother. Okay, so put yourself in the shoes of the church at Colossae. Okay, they know Philemon. Okay, but probably not Onesimus, probably was not in that congregation because he got saved later as he runs away and Paul meets him. But, you know, this letter comes and this slave is now called a faithful brother. I mean, the cultural dynamics of this day, remember, there were people who were having some very hard time because you had rich people in the church and then you had slaves. And that never took place on any other gathering. That just never happened. You had the rich people meeting together. You had the slaves who would kind of do their thing. If they congregated anywhere, it would be with other slaves. But here in the church, the ground was level. And Christ said, hey, look, you know what? The rich people, you're saved. You're on your way down. That's great. You know, and slaves, you have the same opportunity as anybody to grow in Christ and to be a blessing to others. And so as Colossae, the church of Colossae, receives this and sees Paul's, you know, commendation here for Onesimus, well, I can only imagine some of the raised eyebrows that it would have taken place. but not for Paul. Paul understood Onesimus was a child of God. He was faithful, and he was a beloved brother who is with you, Paul says. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. And so they were going to give a report. They were going to go and say, hey, this is what's going on with Paul. This is how things are there. We'll get into some of these other names because, again, they're truly fascinating. But nonetheless, I hope that you see the priority that Paul places on spiritual family. Well, I've got this brother, and, oh, he's been such a blessing to me. He's ministered to my needs when I've been confined here. But he's going to minister to yours, and he's going to be special. I just want you to receive him in the right spirit, okay? So let's both be on the front foot of being a blessing to each other, and then also let's be receptive when somebody wants to be a blessing to us. Let's not run away or try to get to our cars as soon as we can, okay? Let's avail ourselves to that spiritual blessing. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for what you're teaching us here in the book of Colossians, and Lord, the priority on Christian community. And Lord, we realize that the Christian community is one of the things that you use to encourage us in our walk with you. Lord, I pray that each one of us would see that value. Lord, I pray that we would be people that, Lord, are interested in knowing by experience more about each other. Lord, help us to be those that would comfort one another. Lord, speak to our hearts in the morning service. We love you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.